So I'm joined by Ray Harmer, the current Minister for Policy and Reform, who is standing for Peel and Glenfeber in the upcoming general election. Now, Mr. Harmer, you have, of course, been a minister, two separate roles over your time. But I want to focus first on constituency issues. What specifically would you say you've done for Peel in the past 5 years?
So a particular one that's basically completed is around the Heritage Trail, which is one of my sort of passions, is making the island a better place for everyone, and promoting that and securing the funding and getting that up and running, which is now being used by so many people, is a real positive.
Do you think that's a major issue for Peel though?
Well, it's one of those, it's an example of actually just improving the lifestyle for everyone. I mean, obviously, other examples is that we now lead the way in terms of a one-stop shop for health and social care. So the Western Wellbeing Partnership and being involved in that delivery has been important. There's actually been so much that's happened, some of on the infrastructure in terms of Foxdale Main Road, in terms of Marketplace, in terms of a number of different roads that have been constructed. But also, a lot of things are on the way. So, for example, the Peel Silt, that was an inherited problem, but also the QE2 stem block, which has now got funding and got design fees. So you can never sort of parcel anything in a five-year period, but there's been a lot of positivity in that time.
Well, I have to ask you about the big and not positive Peel sewerage issue that hasn't been solved. Both Patrick and Peel have rejected plans to have it built in each area. So how are you going to solve this? And will you accept that you haven't done enough to get this done?
Actually, we're quite a long... Well, that's one of the issues that we're quite a long way actually resolving. So, for example...
Yeah, but you said in your manifesto in 2016, your site would be finalised around 2019.
Yes, and absolutely that was the intention. Obviously, it's Manx Utilities that have been driving this. And one of the key issues that's come out is around what the site is. But there's two really, really important... This will happen. The key issue there is about the sites. Now, obviously, the Manx Utilities have now gone for an expression of sites. The Northwest Plan is absolutely critical in that, because that will, for the first time, identify where the sewage plant can go.
We've had these conversations for years, haven't we?
No, we haven't.
Manx Utilities had a list of over 20 sites at one point.
Yes, they did, and they were narrowed down. Obviously, the best site is, in my personal view, is around the power plant. And the point is, with anything that you persevere and fight on, you don't. If there are issues and knockbacks, for example, then you continue and push through. But one key bit that has been done is the pipe work from along the East Quay. That actually has been established. Yes, there's been a delay. I accept that. But it will happen going forward in 2022.
Do you think in the next administration this will be a problem that is solved?
Absolutely. Provided we continue on the current path and we don't get distracted. I think one of the issues has always been a distraction of going back to Mary Vegg and all of those kind of things. We're on a plan. I think there have been some sort of things that could have been done better, particularly, and I think Manx Utilities would accept that. But I think we are now on a real positive plan, on a plan. But it actually does need an MHK to continue to fight for that. The problem is, if we back off that now, it may not happen, but I believe it absolutely will do. And one of the key things I want to just explain about why the Northwest Plan is very important. Previously, we were very beholden on the 1982 development plans, which really talked about there was no site for a sewage plant at all. So to me, that was a key issue. So when it does go through planning, there's no sort of definitive, this is where the sewage plant's going. So as policy and reform minister, I was very keen that everybody put representations for their different areas, and Manx Utilities have done that. That is an absolutely critical part of the jigsaw, because if a site is identified in the Northwest Plan, that is the site, and we can move ahead with that.
Well, we'll move.
That's why it's. That's why this is a journey. But actually, we've gone a long way. And the other thing that's really important. Two things happened in the last Timbuktu. One, we established that we're continuing with the regional strategy. Secondly, the funding was secured. Both of those weren't.
Well, we'll have to see what happens. And I appreciate, you know, we've got a lot of issues to get through.
No, so, moving, that's a key one.
Moving to, that is a key one. Moving to Glenfaber issues. Now, has Glenfaber been a poor relation in terms of the time you've devoted, do you think?
No, because... you know, I devote as much time to me. Everywhere is important.
So, what sort of issues do you think?
For example, Starvey Road has never been resurfaced. We got that resurfaced. The road in Glen Needles, that road has got done. The Foxdale Main Road has been done, ensuring the bus services are working. Stenblock for QE2 is a regional area, and to me, I'm passionate both about all of the areas within the community, because they all interconnect. It's like the Heritage Trail interconnects between all of those different areas. So for me, going to commissioners' meetings in Patrick, St John's, they're all part of the same constituency, but they're all part of the same community. Is really one community, which is a whole of a community.
Well, like I said, we've got lots to ask you now. Of course, you've been infrastructure minister before, you were policy and reform minister. Now, are you concerned that the legacy that's been left with the promenade, are you concerned it will affect your reputation? Do you think you bear responsibility for any of that?
The prom is going to be fantastic. It's nearing completion. I know it's a lot of disruption and difficulty. It always was. The original estimates were for a 10-year disruption. And for me, that was not acceptable.
Is it going to be fantastic? The scheme has been de-scoped. The quality of the materials is worse than it was initially promised. The scheme, as voted through for Timwald, isn't necessarily going to be completed. Lots changed. Lots of money has been spent. I'm sure it's going to be over budget. So can you really say, looking back, you're happy with this?
Yes, I think when it's finished, I will be, and I'll explain why. And in particular, it's actually grasping the nettle, because the problem is for 20, 30 years, there's been schemes and nobody ever grasped the nettle. I thought it was fundamental. Some of those it's mostly about engineering. For example, not having enough fire hydrants on the prom. If there ever was a fire, that would have caused a major incident. The sewage connections needed to be sorted out, the water. Basically, the prom underneath was a complete and utter mess. I think it's very difficult when things are underground to really understand the size of the issue. Some of it is up to 2.5 to 4 metres in depth.
But I think nobody underestimates the scope of the engineering task ahead. But what they're upset about is we embarked on this mission and this project as a community, as an island, and it's gone over budget, it's delayed, it's the people who are on the promenade, businesses are suffering, management of it doesn't seem to have been up to scratch. So do you bear any responsibility for that?
Obviously, as DOM Minister, you bear responsibility for the things in your time. But I think the prom, again, some of the things that have been said there, I have to challenge back. For example, the quality of materials isn't decreased. It's going to be the same quality. The engineering was the absolute vital piece. That work is all being done. There were delays, some again from Manx Utilities that caused the delays. What it is about working through those problems. Mm-hmm. So, for example, and there's two really key pieces where as a politician that I can influence. One was actually getting back down in 2019 and saying, number one, you need to work together and stop worrying about, if you like, arguing about the project plan and getting time delays. Secondly, we made it a fixed contract. So actually that constrains the cost within a fixed amount. Secondly, thirdly, was actually getting a business liaison. And that business liaison has made a massive difference, because you've got somebody on the ground that can deal with issues as and when.
So but the it problem hasn't was... improved the scheme for those shop owners, though they're still facing the disruption. So it doesn't matter how you're being communicated with. The best communication would be to get done in time.
Well, and that's always been the thrust. As I said before, it was a 10-year project. It was always going to have disruption. That was always the case. And actually, it does make a difference, because if you can respond and provide parking where it's needed. And if you can say, for example, shorten the stretches that you're doing, it does make a big difference. And I do appreciate and that it is a difficult project, but once it's done for the next, 50, 60 years, and it will be a real asset for the island. Mm. I think it's always difficult when you're dealing with something and you're digging up roads that it looks as a difficult issue, but actually the outcome is going to be great. And you can start to see that as you walk down the prompt.
So revisiting the original premise of the question then, and this will be the final question on this issue, do you bear some personal, because the DOI's management is being under review, but do you personally, for that time in Minister, do you have any regrets and do you bear any responsibility?
Well, you always learn from the role. And for example, one of the key things is that I fully understand is that the department have been stripped of important personnel, project managers, over the last 5-10 years, and in some ways that had those chickens came to roost, and I think that's now going to be addressed. So what you do is you say this the prom had to be done. I could duck it for another 10 years, but what would the point of that be? The point is that as you find issues, you learn from them and you build on them and you push to the future. But I, as you see in the next 6 months, you will see as a project comes together, it's the same when you're on a building project, you will start to see the prom and the elements come together, and it will be a fantastic asset for the island. And I must say, the quality is not being reduced. So that is absolutely not true.
Okay. We will talk more widely then about the administration, looking back, obviously, focused there on the promenade and the sewage issues. But how do you think this administration has done? Do you think people's lives are better over the last 5 years?
Yes, and more importantly, it's about securing the future.
So, well, let's just focus on the yes first. How are people's lives better?
So, in some ways, securing the steam packet, I think, is absolutely vital.
And you weren't in favour of that in your manifesto, the last manifesto.
What
changed your mind?
In dealing with the issues and understanding. I mean, when you come into issues, you understand more and more about the fact that actually we need to secure both ends of the link, that actually having the steam packet and not being ruled by, if you like, Portuguese sort of debt firms and things like that, that actually is a vital issue. So the point is, you see an issue and you address it and you pull it through. I think COVID has been a massive issue. So for me, while I was DOI minister, getting those oxygen plant operational, getting the additional COVID ward was a really, really important thing. We've had, if you like, a lot of things that sort of been thrown at us, some that we expected, which was Brexit, which is almost a side point, but also COVID has been absolutely fundamental. Things for the future include things like the National Broadband Plan, which has been vitally important, and the way the health transformation, and again Pilar Grenfaber leading the way by having that wellbeing centre.
Well, on health, I'll ask you about that. Manx Care has come in, many people supportive, including the politicians, but the funding issue, the crucial funding issue, hasn't yet really been addressed. So how would you go about doing that in future?
Well, one of the key things, and this is why this has been done this way, is about efficiencies.
But you can't fund it just through making efficiencies.
No, absolutely not. There will be more funding requirements over the
But where do you think that comes from? Because that's the gap that keeps emerging.
Well, I think one of the issues is around integrated care. So that's about treating the person, the well-being of the person, rather than, if you like, having lots of different pigeonholes where that person goes, but actually dealing with individual needs. That will actually drive a lot more efficiency. A lot of things are the way the health Manx Care between the hospital and the patient record. At the moment, they're two separate records. If we have better data and better understanding, we can meet the individual needs better rather than waiting. Because one of the key issues, if you wait till the person is it's too late and they're in hospital, it is too late and it will cost more. So it is both about, as I say, that integrated around primary care is really, really important. And mental health is also another critical issue.
Well, I'll ask you actually about that in a second, but we'll move on to another issue that some people want to know about, how it's going to be funded: climate change. Some would say this government has done an awful lot of talking, an awful lot of navel-gazing about climate change, but not a lot of actual action. How do you respond to that?
Well, I think it's if you take the prom as an example, if you the actual what you need to do is spend more time planning Because if you in any project, if you just go out and do it, you actually then have to go.
But there
go
were
back.
Reports about climate change done in 2015-16 that laid out a whole list of options for governments to take, and we didn't take
them.
Well,
I think you've got two fundamental issues. Number one, you didn't have any statutory legs with that. So with the climate change bill, that gives, and particularly the action plan, which would be approved by Timwald, gives some sort of credence to that. Secondly, it's about joined up working. So I chaired the Climate Transformation Board over the last year, and we are now actually delivering on some of those things, whereas before it was all siloed in different departments.
That always
was going to prevent it. But there will be a lot of delivery, and I think
Let's talk about that, because people want to know the detail of the delivery, because we talk about things and documents that government's preparing, but people want to know questions like, what's going to be where are the wind turbines going to go? How am I going to move to being able to afford to an electric car? So what do you see if you're successful in the election, you come in, what are the steps we're going to see, the action we're going to see taken, the tangible action?
So a lot of things of where you need to go. What's really, really important, for example, on take buildings, is actually having an audit of where your house is, what needs to be done, and what sort of measures you can take. So that is the first part of what the Green Living Grant, which will be introduced hopefully in the next couple of months, but that needs to be expanded. And also give those people who can't afford it the possibility of doing that.
But is government reaching into their pocket for this? Because I suppose one of the criticisms that could be levelled is government has encouraged personal decisions over greener initiatives, and they haven't really put the money out there for those who might not be able to afford but want to.
Well, in a number of ways, there's a 10 million budget now. I don't think it's going to be enough. It's going to be more, going to have to be a lot, lot more than that. And it will be the government putting the hand in the pocket, because ultimately I see a green future and a digital future coinciding. It's the same side of the coin of as an economic prosperity. If we can both get ourselves the island and understand and embrace that, as well as biodiversity and the biosphere, in a meaningful way, in a way that we're saying we're going to change behaviour, this will also improve our economy, because there's massive opportunities in that space.
Well, do you think this is going to require significant new investment, whether that comes from reserves or borrowing or wherever it comes from? Do you think a lot of money is going to have to put behind climate change initiatives to make them really work for people?
I think so. But also, a lot of the work will be catalysts. So, and in doing so, they will reap a return. And
but you accept government has to show leadership.
And completely. And that's one of the things that I was trying to do in DOI, in terms of saying, right, OK, let's have a footpath strategy. Let's have an active travel strategy. Let's understand that it's about spaces and people are more important than about just getting from A to B. So it's about embedding climate change strategy within a natural working, and only when it becomes part of the natural day job within a department will you see real change.
Okay, great. Well, I have to move on to another issue now. We're looking over your manifesto from 2016. Obviously, sewage was one of the issues, other major issues. How do you think you've done? And do you think you are more you're less naive to the workings of government now? You've been a minister for 5 years.
Yes, and in some ways, you know, you almost need 5 years as an apprenticeship to take you to the next 5 years, and understanding how government works and how you can change things is really, really
important.
Have
you done everything you could within that confine?
Yes, in sense of the timing, and the main thing is working. My main priority is about for the constituent, about working for the people. So the constituency work for me is vitally important. It's about giving them a voice as well for people, in both in government day to day, but also within Timwald. And you know, yes, there's some things that I'm standing here because I'm unhappy that the Peel sewage still isn't done. I'm immensely frustrated you know, in some ways very angry that we still have not moved that as far enough. There's other things where that's gone quick and we've seen success. But it's, again, it's about persevering, it's about caring and pushing as hard as possible for the people of Glenfavor and Peel, and for the island as well.
Well, we're coming very close to the end of the time, so we'll ask you, when you've got 30 seconds for this, why should people choose to re-elect you, Ray Harmer?
Firstly, because I'm passionate about Glenfavor and Peel, and for the people of Peel, and I want to represent them. I believe a better future for everyone. I believe about securing the future and not ducking difficult challenges, but embracing them and solving them and pushing through.